Proverbs chapter 29. Where I'd like to direct your attention this afternoon. While you're turning there, I pray that this afternoon we'll be like Joseph, that the Lord will be with us. I pray that we'll be like Zacchaeus, that we will do whatever it takes to be where the Lord is and to see the Lord. And I pray that we won't let anything get in our way of seeing the Lord, that we may see Him high and lifted up. And may, when we do see Him, may we be like Mary and be willing to sit at His feet and learn. Amen. I really think what Brother Don brought to your attention will go right along with what the Lord has laid on my heart. He preached on the practice of the old Baptists. And you can call me old-fashioned, you can call me antiquated, outdated, redneck, backwoods, whatever you want to call me. I call myself a child of the King.
Amen.
I call myself a member of the true church here on this earth. And I'm thankful. Now, I was going to let you know, I'm from South Massachusetts. Deep South Massachusetts. Just picking with you, Brother Clifford. Proverbs chapter 29. The last time I was able to come to this meeting, I heard an outstanding sermon come from Proverbs 29, verse 18. Elder Adam Green preached this, and I remember his words correctly. He said he wanted to go to the secondary meaning of this verse. It says, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And some of you were here at that meeting, realize and remember that Brother Adam preached on having vision for the church, vision for your family, for your children, and so forth and so on. I want to take the primary meaning of this verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Heard a preacher say one time that the saddest verse he heard in the Bible was when Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. Sad verse. I think that the sad verse recorded in Timothy where Paul writes, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, the sad verse. And I'm paraphrasing, not quoting verbatim here, but it says, "For there at this time there was no open vision." Brother Don went to Amos, and I want to go to Amos and read a verse that I think is very sad. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land." That's pretty sad. But I didn't finish the verse. Because this is not a famine that you and I may be thinking about if we hadn't read this verse and continued on. But this verse says, "Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Friends, I don't know about you. There's one person in this sanctuary this afternoon that I know better than anybody else in this room. That's me. And I know that I could not make it in this world if I did not hear from time to time the Word of the Lord. Oh, friends, when a man stands before you, friends, he's not preaching himself. The message he brings you comes from a far country, and that country, my friends, is heaven itself. If a man is endued with power to preach the gospel, my friends, it's not of himself, it's of the Lord. Now, friends, let me tell you, I want to stay, Brother Don, the old outdated church. I want to stay that way in practice, and I sure want to stay that way in doctrine, friends.
Amen.
I want to preach what this word says. I don't want to add anything to try to get people to come, my friends. If the truth isn't good enough, you don't need to come.
Amen.
Go somewhere else where you can hear what you want to hear.
Amen.
You have itching ears, go listen to it.
Right.
But if you want to hear the truth, my friends, you go to where the truth is preached. When you want to see Jesus, you go to where He's going to be.
Amen.
And friends, I want to hear about my personal Savior. Friend, I believe in the personal Savior. You may not, but I do. And back up with us, saith the Word of God, my friends, I'm on safe ground. Paul believed he was a personal Savior. He sure did. Paul believed it. I believe it. And he's my personal Savior, my friends, by choice.
Right. Amen.
Thank you, brother. His choice, not mine.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. For I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Not I. And I'm not quoting it right. Let me turn there and get it right. I don't want to butcher it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Friend, that's as personal as you can get. He loved me. Why He loved me? I don't have any idea. I can't tell you why He loved me. But He did. And He gave Himself for me. It was personal, my friend. When He hung on the cross of Calvary, He saw who He was going to die for. He knew. It wasn't a guessing game and a hoping game, my friend. He knew every one of His children and who He was giving His life for. And He loved me. And He gave Himself for me. And friends, I want to hear of the old doctrine, my friend. I want to hear the true preaching of the gospel as long as I live. And I believe I have found it in the old Baptist church. I've been old Baptist all my life. I didn't have to go looking for it. That's where I was raised. But friends, if I thought there was something better, I'd be looking for it. But friends, I want to hear of my Savior. Not the one who's begging and pleading and hoping I get things right, my friend. The one who has made me right.
Amen.
He has made me accepted in the beloved.
Yes.
Friends, I didn't do it myself. He did it for me. You know why? I could never do it.
Amen.
Friends, would you want to live under a doctrine like that? That's requiring you to do something you could never do? If you ever played sports, you ever have a coach that required you to do something you couldn't do? Friends, it didn't work that way. And friends, without Jesus Christ dying for us and the Holy Spirit borning us again of His Spirit, friends, we would stay dead in trespasses and in sins. You see, I want that vision, my friends. I want the truth preached. Now, I've heard of the meetings announced all over the country. Friends, if you want to come to a church meeting, you come to Southwest Mississippi where I live. Because we have them down home. And we have good visitation among the churches down there. And we have some outstanding ministers that come to be with us. Next weekend we got Adam Green coming. The next weekend James Isaac. The next weekend Sonny Huffy. The next weekend Ricky Harcrow. And David Montgomery's in there somewhere in between. And I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I mean, he's not outstanding. I just didn't want to hurt his feelings. He's coming. That's why I put him at the end. I say he's somewhere in between.
Funny guy.
But friends, I look forward to those meetings. You know why? These brothers are going to preach the truth. They're going to preach about a triumphant Savior. Not one who wants you to be His child, who begging and pleading you and softly and tenderly calling you, but the one who, when He calls, you answer. Oh, friends, I've heard about that effectual call all my life. You know what? I believe it. Oh, when He speaks, the work is done. Oh, friends, you know what He does? He takes that heart and stony heart out of you, and don't make an incision, by the way, and He puts a heart of flesh in there. Oh, friends. And see, now His law is written on the fleshy tables of the heart. Oh, friends. You'll know if you're a child of God. I was at a thing several years ago, a crusade several years ago I went. And we were instructed by the guy who was doing this crusade to look to the persons on our left and ask them, were they saved? My wife, was my girlfriend at the time, was sitting to my left. There was a guy sitting to my right. And he looked at me and said, "Are you saved?" And I said, "I hope I am." He said, "Oh, brother, you need to stop right now and go up there and give your hand to that man and give your heart to the Lord." He said, "You got a problem." I said, "No, sir, you got a problem." I don't think he really liked me telling him that, but I didn't like him telling me I had a problem. But I know what I believe. I know my hope is not, "I hope I get home," my friends. That hope is based on Jesus Christ, my friend. And it's just as sure as Jesus Christ is, friends. My hope is built on nothing less. Oh, friends. You see, I want to know that He by Himself purged my sin. Now, I taught school for 28 years. I'm not an English teacher, and you will know by my language I'm not an English teacher. My older sister was, and she corrects me from time to time with my poor grammar. But I understand that the word purged is past tense. Y'all impressed, aren't you? That's how. Oh, y'all are some smart folk who come out of Mississippi. Friends, I know that it's already been done. And I want to hear that, my friends, that my sins have been paid for. And that I'm not going to have to stand before a thrice holy God at that day and give an account of everything I've ever done wrong. Amen. I have friends who believe that that's going to happen, Brother Jeff. They believe that last day that you're going to have to stand before the Lord and give Him account for everything you did wrong. Now, I got news for you. If they do it in alphabetical order and your last name is after Myers, you end up for a long wait. Oh, you're going to be AY. Brother Mark Quarles, you just might as well just get you a seat and take a nap and be like Rip Van Winkle. About 20 years later, you can come on down. But friends, let me tell you, I don't believe that.
Right.
I believe we do give account for our sins, but it's right here, my friends.
Right.
We give account right here. But I believe that Jesus Christ put our sins as far away as the east is from the west.
Yeah.
And you know how far that is? You know how far it is? It's impossible. If I tell you to start going east, friends, when would you quit going east? You wouldn't. You continue to go east. You know, if I told you to go north, you keep going north for a while, you know what? You'll get to a place where you start going south. But that's not the way it is with the east and the west. And you know what God said? He says, "Your sins and iniquities I will remember no more." Now you mean to tell me that He said that He's not going to remember them, but yet He's going to bring them up? You got to give an account for them? Are you going to buy that? If you do, where's Brother Don? I got some oceanfront property in Mississippi, and I don't live on the coast either. I live up in the pines. Come on over and I'll sell it to you. Do you believe that? I don't believe it either. He paid. Jesus Christ paid for our sins. Friends, I want to hear the true gospel. That He saved us from our sins. You know that proclamation was made in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, "For she shall bring forth a son." How many of y'all believe that? "Thou shalt call His name Jesus." How many believe that? How many believe the next part? "For He shall save His people from their sins." You believe that? You know, a lot of the world is 2 for 3. And Brother Don talked about music, and somebody else mentioned music. Old guy back in the 80s. See, I was born in the 60s, Brother Don, but I'm more of an 80s guy. Old guy named Meatloaf had a song called 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad. You ever heard of that? 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad is the name of the song. What about 3 out of 3?
Right.
Yeah.
What about 3? That's better. Hey, man, I'll go for 3 out of 3. I believe if I play professional baseball, I'll go 3 out of 3 every time I batted. Every time I play in the game, I go 3 out of 3. I think I'd probably have a little bit of money in my pocket. What you think? See, I believe all three. I believe all three. I believe He's saved once again. You get that? There's another past tense. He has saved us, my friends. He has saved us. Well, you know, over in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, verse that I like a lot. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Here's what it says. It's here, trust me. This is what it says. That's not what I'm looking for. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians. I do that quite often. That's not it either. But it says, "For if the trumpet shall give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle?" Now, friends, I believe that verse is talking about, referring back to Moses and the two silver trumpets, that they had certain sounds that they would give that meant certain things. My dad, one of the most heartwarming stories I ever heard my dad told about a man who's a member of the church that Elder James Conley pastors, Brother Phillip's brother. It's called Union Friendly Baptist Church in Ruth, Mississippi. He was a prisoner of war of Korea in the Korean conflict. His mom and dad, when he got released and come home, he was coming to San Diego, California. And his parents wanted to go and meet their son. But they didn't have the means to do so. They asked Brother Melvin Myers. You don't know who Brother Melvin is? That's Brother Jim Myers, his grandfather, my uncle. Would he take them to California to meet their son? When that ship came to the dock, Brother Leon and Sister Dolly Matthews were standing there with my Uncle Mel and my Aunt Doris. And that ship came, and there were just thousands of people on that dock and a lot of those sailor boys on the deck. He was trying to find his dad. Brother Leon was trying to find his son. They had an old call that they had at home when it was time to come in from outside that Brother Leon would give. And he let that call out real loud. And Brother Charles was standing on the deck of that boat, and he looked by to his buddy standing beside him. He says, "My dad's out there." He said, "How do you know with all that throng of people? How do you know?" He said, "I heard his call." Friends, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how do you know to prepare yourself for battle? I told you I taught school. One day at school, we had different bells that meant certain things. We had warnings for a tornado. We had an earthquake. We had a fire. And one day it went berserk. I'm talking about it just started just ringing and banging and beating and knocking. And a young teacher, his first year, come running across the hall, come busting in my door. We were getting on with class. He said, "Coach Myers, what does that mean?" I said, "That's the rapture, brother." You see, he didn't know what to prepare for. He didn't know what that sound meant. And friends, the Bible says, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle?" How many people today are hearing uncertain sounds? They're telling you, you've got to get right. Are you going to get left? Friends, let me tell you, you heard Elder Mark Quarles preach this morning. And I like what he said, my friends. You know how many of God's children are going to be left behind? Zero.
Amen.
That many. As they say down south, and they're nairn. Yeah. They're going to be nairn left behind. Friends, there's going to be none of God's children left behind. And the Lord is not coming back here to set up a kingdom, my friends, and reign for 1,000 years. He's already put that kingdom here, and He's in reigning right now, friends. He's reigning now. We're not waiting on Him to reign. He's reigning right now, my friends. And we're in His kingdom right now.
Amen.
This is the kingdom He came to establish. That's why the Jews had a problem with Him. They thought He came to establish an earthly kingdom and they would rule the world. Friends, He set up the kingdom. And we get to enjoy it. I don't know about you, I sure have enjoyed it.
Yes, sir.
Oh, friends, I've enjoyed it. It sure beats working at K&S Industrial Services in Brookhaven, Mississippi. I can tell you that much. It sure beats that. My oldest daughter said, "Dad, said, how come all Primitive Baptists you can't move in one place and have a compound?" That's what she said. I'd like that, my friends. All I have to do is be around. Well, there's some folks here I wouldn't want to be around. And Brother Mike, I was just looking at you when I thought that. But friends, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, as I kind of meditated on this a little bit, I thought, how many of God's children? I believe a lot. There's a lot of God's children out here, friends, who don't listen to what you and I listen to. And I, you know, I got to thinking, they're living on a $20. A $20. Can you imagine? Can you imagine eating nothing but Twinkies the rest of your life? You may like Twinkies. I don't. I may look like one. I don't like Twinkies. I don't like Twinkies. Friends, when I go to the table, I like a little bit of it all. Now, I'm a meatitarian, by the way. Okay? If you don't believe it, watch me eating. You'll find out I like meat. But you know, somebody made some cabbage today. It was absolutely outstanding. Guarantee you. Whew, that was good. And every made Italian cream cheese cake, God bless your soul. If you wasn't married and I wasn't, I'd ask you right now. But that was fine. But friends, I don't want that Twinkie diet. I don't want that Twinkie diet. I don't want a doctrine that when I leave here, I'm all just chipper and, oh, don't I feel good? I heard a guy who called himself a minister not too long ago that said his ministry wasn't to preach Jesus. It was to make his congregation feel good. And let me go ahead and tell you, just in case you think this is just other, but just in case you think that it's just other religions who are doing this, I had a very good friend of mine call me not too long ago and said, "Brother Rick, I got a prayer request. I want you to be in much prayer about it." He said, "There's some young ministers in our area who have gotten away from preaching doctrine. And they preach practice and preach practice and preach practice. And just in case you think, Brother Ricky, you're off your rocker, I went and preached at one of these churches not too long ago. And I preached a doctrinal sermon. And when I got finished, the young pastor of that church got up and said, 'You know, we agree with what Brother Ricky said, but we all know there's a lot of work for us to do.'" Friends, I'm going to tell you, I want to hear it all. There's time that we need to hear about practical things, my friend. But friends, I want to hear the doctrine. I want to hear about my Savior. I want to hear about the one who came from heaven's pure world and came down to this low ground of sin and sorrow, my friend, and shed His blood for His people, my friend. I want to hear it. He atoned for every sin of every one of His children. I want to hear that. He paid the price, my friends. He paid it. Oh, yes, I've heard it all my life. Grace is free, and it is. But it came at a great cost. It came at the shedding of the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He paid that debt, and He paid it in full. Friends, I want to tell you, just like Brother Mark, once again, I want to hear that He's not going to lose one. I don't know about y'all. I'm not a very lucky person. I'm not very lucky. When I was in school at Delta State, I was in a class my senior year with 37 women and men. I majored in elementary education, just in case you'll know, guys. It's a great class to be in. 37 women and men. And I can tell you a lot of reasons it's a good thing. One is because women teachers take it easy on the guy. I had a teacher told him, said, "Ricky's not expected to do as much as y'all do." My kind of teacher. My kind of teacher. Got where I was going with that. But anyway, maybe I'll think about it here in a minute.
You're not lucky.
I'm not lucky. Thank you, brother. Thank you for paying attention. That was a test, by the way. Just to see if you were paying attention. We were having to give a presentation in class. And the teacher said, "All right. Who's going to volunteer to go first?" Nobody volunteered. I start raking my stuff together. The girl said, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting ready to go first. She said, you didn't volunteer? I said, don't have to. I said, I guarantee you my name will be drawn first. She said, you don't know that. Teacher, she says, you know what? She says, I knew this might happen. I'm already prepared. She pulls a little box out, reaches, grabs a piece of paper, unfolds it. I'm already started walking that way. She said, Ricky Myers. I said, told you. If it had been to win something, I'd have been the last one chosen. I'm glad it's not based on luck. I'm glad that he's not going to leave any of his children behind. You know why? I would be the one left behind. If one got left behind, I'd be like the little boy in the movie. You know, what's it called? You know what I'm talking about.
Home Alone.
I'd be just like him. I'd be the one who got left behind. But friends, I got a better story than that. You see, first of all, John chapter 10 says he knows his sheep. And friends, you know what? He knows where every single one of his sheep are right now. Those who have passed this scene. You know, how many of you can tell me exactly where Moses is buried? Anybody know where Moses is buried? God does. God knows where he's buried. Let me tell you, friends, these of our soldier boys that's been blown to bits and pieces. Friends, he's not going to have any problem waking them at all. He's not going to have one problem, my friends. Just as he went to that grave of Lazarus, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Friends, he didn't get down on his knees and beg and plead and say, would you please come out of there? Come on. Just for me, please, this one time. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he come forth, bound hand and foot. And you know what that was to show? That it wasn't by Lazarus' power, my friends. It was by the power, the voice of the Son of God. Oh, friends. I want to continue to hear preaching as long as I live. Let me tell you, just in case you got me figured out wrong here, I don't want it just to end, Brother Mike, when my life ends. I want my posterity to be in the Old Baptist Church, my friend.
Yes, sir.
I want to conduct myself in a manner down home that when I'm gone, they're still carrying on. I don't know about, y'all may not know this, but I pastor, that's in quotation marks, 6 churches. I've just taken on 2 more churches in the afternoon who are without pastors to try to help them out till they find someone. Friends, I'm going to tell you, we need some more laborers.
Amen.
We need some more laborers. You know how we get laborers? We pray for them.
Right.
We pray for them. And let me tell you something else, just in case you don't know this. When I talk about having more laborers in the field, that ain't talking about just ministry too, my friends.
Right.
I heard a preacher not too long ago preach down at home, and he said that there's a guy that come and want to join their church, and then he asked him why. He said, well, said, y'all don't expect much. He said, y'all don't do a whole lot here. So that's what I'm going to do. He said, we already got enough of them. You can't join. We already got enough of them don't want to do anything. Friends, let me tell you, this is about the service of God.
Amen.
And just as Brother Don is so ably spoken, my friends, I can't understand why a person wants to come into the house of the Lord and not sing praises. Friend, I don't care what kind of voice you got. You're not singing to me. You're not singing to Brother Clifford. You're singing to an audience of one. And that's God Himself. Oh, you're singing to Him. That's who you need to sing to. There's a preacher, and we all know him. He doesn't have a marvelous voice either. Went to the Rich Mind Association a few years ago, and I recorded the same little recorder I have. And friends, it is just, I'm going to tell you, this thing has been just outstanding. It was outstanding out of the Rich Mind Association. And you can hear this brother. He's not on tune. He's not even on time. But you know what? He's singing from the heart. That's where you sing from. You may have a gorgeous voice, my friends. You may have a gorgeous voice. But you're singing so people will say, boy, I love to hear you sing. You're singing for the wrong reason. You can have a person sitting beside you that can't carry a tune in the syrup bucket. And if y'all don't tell me what that means, by the way, I want to know what it means. My daddy said it all his life, and why a syrup bucket? Why not 5-gallon bucket or 55-gallon drum? But my daddy said it all the time, can't carry a tune in the syrup bucket. But if you're singing to the Lord, He hears you, my friend.
Amen.
Just as those two men went to pray. One had a 34-word prayer, and he mentioned I 5 times. And one says, what do you mean, look up? smote himself on the breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Which one was heard by God?
Yeah.
Oh, and why? Why? I mean, that other prayer was good. What did he do? Oh, I tithe. I fast. I give alms. That's good things, friend. But who is he bringing attention to? Himself. Brother Don covered that so well. That's the reason musical instruments not in the church. That old covenant's done. It's gone. We're of the new covenant, my friends. And we're doing it right. And we're doing it right when it comes to the preaching of the Word. How many of you heard anything that Elder David Montgomery preached last night you didn't agree with? How many of you heard anything that Elder Philip Conley preached that you didn't agree with? Elder Chris Krause this morning, Elder Mark Quarles, Brother Don this afternoon. How many of you heard anything you said, you know, I don't agree with that? Friend, I ain't heard a thing. If I did, I'd already talked to him. And I'm going to tell you, I've been in a place. I've been in a church where I heard a guy, a Primitive Baptist church, where he said, where Jesus told Mary, do not touch me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. He said, from this place, he said, had Mary touched him, would have tainted that sacrifice and everything he had done was for naught. How many of y'all want that? You can't put ice cream on that and me have it. And chocolate and sprinkles and everything else on it. Friends, I won't have that with nothing. I don't believe that. He told Thomas, behold, the nail prints of my hands and thrust your hands in my side. Did Thomas have to do it? Friends, that's not what he meant when he said, touch me not. There's nothing to taint that sacrifice, my friends. Nothing. Nothing. You tell me how a God with all power can be stopped from doing anything. It was mentioned last night about those angels. I always heard, everybody said it last night, the legion, I always heard a legion was 1,000. So 12 legions would be 12,000. And if one could kill 185,000, I can't do the math to tell you what 12,000 would do. That's how I'm going to calculate. Do 185,000. 12,000 times 185,000. Friends, where there is no open vision, the people perish. I believe there's a lot of people today who are perishing because they're not hearing the joyful sound. Oh, they're hearing that uncertain sound. If you don't get right, you're going to get left. If you leave this church building, leave those doors and leave here, something happens to you and you hadn't made Christ your personal Savior, hell is your home. Friends, I got a better story than that.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah 40, verse 1, does not say, scare ye my people.
Right.
You know what my dad said about that? If I can scare you into doing something, I can probably scare you out of it. That's what my dad used to say. But it says, comfort ye. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Cry unto her that her warfare is over. Warfare is over. How is it over? By the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Friends, I want to hear that joyful sound. I want to hear that certain sound. I don't want to hear that I have to be baptized. I don't have to hear that I have to do this and do that to be saved, my friends. I tell you, there ought to be a lot of things I do because I am saved.
Amen.
Oh, friends, I ought to act like it. I ought to be thankful and grateful to the Lord for what He's done for me. You know, the Bible says that we are to present our bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, who can finish it. Which is our unreasonable service? No, our reasonable service. Friends, it's what we should do. Thursday night, Brother David, that's a good time to worship the Lord. Good time to worship the Lord. Wednesday night's a good time to worship the Lord. Anytime's a good time to worship the Lord. And friends, I'm going to tell you, if you want to worship the Lord, you've got to go to where that's the purpose of meeting. I've had some friends tell me that I can have worship service, and I'm not using this just to try to poke at somebody. So if this steps on your toes, it's just what a friend told me. He said, I can have worship service just as good on my deer stand as you can have at your church. What he told me. You know what I told him? No, you can't. Because you're not gathered there on that deer stand for that purpose. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name. That's the purpose, see. That's the reason I come from South Mississippi to right here, is to worship. The only reason I came. Now, seeing you has been a great benefit. Hearing you sing has been a great benefit. To hear the prayers that's been offered, the humble prayers, has been a great benefit. Hear the preaching has been a great benefit. But I came to worship the King. That's why I came. To bow down and worship the King. Well, friends, let me tell you, He's worthy. He is worthy. And friends, He'll always be worthy. He's worthy of every effort you ever give. Friends, what have you done for Him? Look at what He's done for you and what you've done for Him. Compare it. No comparison, is it? I can't fathom my mind what Jesus left to what He came to. How many of you would do that? We don't have much knowledge of heaven, my friends. But what knowledge we do have. How many of you would leave heaven, come here? Not only just come here, but to suffer the things that Christ suffered on our behalf. I wouldn't. I'd stay in heaven and say, figure it out yourself. Good luck. But friends, He came. You know what He came for? To do the will of the Father.
Amen.
That's what He said. He came to do the will of the Father. And friend, His Father's will is to seek and to save them that were lost. Do you believe that He did it? Do you believe He is the Savior? You know what the definition of a Savior is? One who saves. If you had to save, you're not a Savior. He's a Savior. He's my personal Savior. Friends, I love Him. I love to be in His service. If you ever get an opportunity to come to Southwest Mississippi, you come. But we try to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
That's what Paul preached, friends. If it's good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for Ricky Myers. It's good enough for you. Thank you so much, your kind order of attention, for staying awake. I didn't have to throw this glass of water on anybody. May the Lord bless you, my prayer. Brother Clifford.